Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
The Takeaway is supported by Exxon and Mobil, offering Synergy gasoline engineered in ExxonMobil's Formula One fuel lab. Exxon and Mobil, energy lives here.
In the end, for Austrian voters, it was too slippery, a slippery slope.
I've never forgotten that. It's so deep inside me. I still remember it today. And now, a politician tells us, a civil war could happen? Impossible.
Gertrude, an 89-year-old Holocaust survivor from Vienna, speaking there. Voters headed to the polls with that on their mind on Sunday, and they largely repudiated the gains of populist right-wing politicians elsewhere in Europe to select the country's next head of state. Norbert Hofer, a key figure in the right-wing Freedom Party, conceded defeat to Alexander Van Bayen, the Green Party candidate. It was an even bigger setback in Italy, where voters tossed the entire draconian reform program of Matteo Renzi into the trash. He's agreed to resign. Alison Langley is a freelance journalist based in Zurich, Switzerland, and a lecturer at Webster University.
Austria is a tiny country that is a major exporter. That's what its economy is. So Austria is pro-EU. They need the EU to export. So they see it differently. Although Hofer kept coming out and saying, I will not try to get an Austrian exit, no one believed him because the Freedom Party always has been an anti-EU platform. And Nigel Farage, I mean, if you're asking about outside influences, Nigel Farage came out and said, yeah, vote for the Freedom Party and Austria will get out of the EU. And the Austrians were like, no, they didn't want that. And the other thing was, but I think even a bigger role was the idea of its place in history. And I think a lot of Austrians are so sick of being compared to Nazis. And when they saw that all the headlines and all the things was Austria is going to be going back to the Nazi era, they really started rolling it in. And what you see is a higher voter turnout, which is really interesting because it's all the people that didn't vote last time. They came and voted for von der Bellen just to say, no, that's not who we are.
Does Austria have a fundamentally different relationship with its history than Italy seems to in the embrace of a Mussolini-styled leader, but a real rejection here of all these changes?
Yes. I would say that the Italians really has a north-south divide. The northerners are more export-oriented. They're more pro-EU, and the southern Italy is not. So you see a lot of different factors at play.
One of the things that's interesting in Italy is the disillusionment among Italians with their governments of whatever political persuasion. Where does it go from here?
That's a really good question, because Renzi, 2.5 years ago, ran on an anti-establishment party platform. And he said he was going to come in and shake stuff up. And what he saw was, because of Mussolini and its fascist past, Italy's constitution is structured so that the power is very decentralized. And he found that he couldn't do the changes that he wanted to implement. And that's why he asked his country to agree to these changes. So what we're seeing is that Italians, they don't like the establishment, but they don't like change either. And this is why, I mean, just because of this crazy constitutional system that they have, where the federal government doesn't have a lot of power. That's why you keep seeing 65 presidents in like 70 years of Italian history.
Alison Langley is a freelance journalist based in Zurich, Switzerland, a lecturer at Webster University. She joined us from Zurich. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
The Takeaway is supported by American Express. American Express has cards and services designed for businesses of all sizes. Learn more at open.com.